Father, that is an affirmation of all we believe. And even as we affirm it, we're reminded of your mercy, your grace, your love, and your blessing. That from before the beginning of creation, you set your love upon us and called us to know you in Jesus. And we worship and adore you for your generosity and your commitment to us. And we ask now that you would continue to speak to us, and that as we've worshipped you, so as we look at your word, you would speak with a clarity that would build our confidence and deepen our intimacy. And I ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Welcome, St. Margaret's. It's great to see you on a day of uncertain weather, and yet you've still come, and thank you so much. It's good to have you. And thank you, Tom and the band, for leading us in worship. We'll be back to you soon. Two notices. First of all, either on the website or on the notice board, you'll have seen the details of the Kingdom Come evening, which is an evening from 6 till 8 on the 16th of June of worship and of ministry and of a talk. We're doing this in conjunction with HGB and the North Kent Community Church, which is now called Eastgate because it feels itself called to the Eastgate of the city. They're coming up and involved with us here. So do put that in your diary, because if you're like me, you're conscious that we dash out very quickly at the end of a service and just have time to worship and time to be prayed for might be exactly what you need on Thursday the 16th of July. So it's there. And of course, like anything in this church, you can come and go exactly when you want, or when your train or work or whatever means that you have to go. The other thing is that from July, we're going to have with us a half-time curate called Sophie Bannister, who is going to be ordained in St. Paul's Cathedral on the 2nd of July and go almost on to maternity leave, but then wonderfully come back at some point. She thinks 6 weeks, I assume 9 months, and work with us here. So you'll be meeting her, she'll be preaching in July, before she goes on maternity leave. It's a very exciting partnership. We're doing it with another church in the city, and it's a bit, I've known her for some time. She worked for 8 years in the Square Mile, and so she understands exactly what some of the pressures are around here. May I read to you a few verses from Acts chapter 8? Acts chapter 8 and beginning at verse 14. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers there that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. They'd simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. On Saturday evening, I went to a friend's 75th birthday party. It was also his golden wedding anniversary. He'd married a child bride, as his wife kept on telling me. But it was wonderful. I'd known them for goodness knows quite how long, but certainly longer than I really wanted to be reminded. It was a great evening, full of friends I see regularly, full of those I've hardly ever seen. 80 of us sat down to supper. He'd been a city lawyer in the good days and had got out before the bad had started, so he could afford that type of thing, which was wonderful, really, and I was quite happy for him to afford it and to eat and drink all he laid on. And I was on such a fun table. On one side, I had one of his grandchildren, who was just about to go up to university, who said, "I've never met you, but I know about you. You're very small, very funny, and never married." I thought, actually, as a summary of my life, there could be more that could be said. But nevertheless, as his grandfather was giving me supper, I thought I ought to just smile in a kind of polite and encouraging sort of way. On my left, there was such a fun woman who we laughed with. I laughed with, suddenly taking the royal plural in an arrogant sort of way. Laughed with for 1.5 courses. And then she said, "Of course, you're a vicar, aren't you? So I ought to say something holy." I said, "Well, I am a vicar, but it's up to you what you say." She said, "Well," she said, "I pray." I said, "That's very good." She said, "And do you know why?" I said, "I don't, but I'd love to hear." She said, "My son is just going up to university in the autumn." She said, "And at 10, at the Christmas Boxing Day, when he was 10 years old, we discovered he had a brain tumour. It was an awful time. There were problems getting him properly diagnosed, problems getting the surgical team in place to operate. It was awful for the family. And of course, everyone was staying. It was really difficult." She said, "You know, but our vicar was fantastic." I said, "They often are." And then realised that was probably should have come from someone else rather than me, really. And she said, "You know, he got people praying, even when there seemed to be no hope that he'd ever be able to get back to normal." And, you know, it was extraordinary. It took about 2.5 years before he was able to go back to school and involved in everything. But here we are, 6 years later, and he's going up to Cambridge in the autumn. She said, "That is an answer to prayer." I wanted to shout hallelujah, but we were in a very respectable context, so I thought I'd better just say that's very good news indeed, in the type of way Anglican vicars do. But it was amazing. She said, "I would never have believed it would happen before it did, but I've seen a miracle in answer to prayer." And when you're a mum, that is quite a miracle to pray for. It was an experience for her of genuine spiritual reality, which she was not ashamed to talk about. And it's genuine spiritual reality that we read about here in Acts chapter 8. The first Christians were those who lived round and in Jerusalem until that persecution began. Samaria, where these verses took place, was a type of place where they wouldn't have expected those early Christians for the Holy Spirit to be at work. After all, Samaritans were not the type of people the Jewish Christians of the early first century believed would be interested in the message of the Lord Jesus Christ, but they clearly were, as we heard. In the Message version of verse 12, we read, "When Philip came to proclaim the news of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, becoming believers right and left." The Christians in Jerusalem thought, no chance. But actually, when Philip went there, there was the most extraordinary response. Now, given all that, why did Peter and John and the other apostles in Jerusalem think that the Samaritan Christians hadn't received the Holy Spirit? When you read about all that's happening, it was absolutely clear that the Holy Spirit was all over the place in Samaria. People had been healed, freed from demonic activity. They believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and they'd been baptized. In verse 11, we can read, there was great joy in the city. It's hard to imagine what else, in terms of evidence of the work of the Spirit, that people could look for. There seemed little else that could possibly happen. Nevertheless, Peter and John came from Jerusalem, as we read in verse 17, and they placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And in spite of everything that had happened already, What happened when Peter and John did that was clearly very different. In verses 18 and 19, we read of Simon, who was quite a high-profile power broker in Samaria, being so impressed at what Peter and John had done that he offered them money and said, "Give me also this ability so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." He knew what power was and had recognized that all the apostles had been doing was in a completely different league to anything he'd ever come across before. Clearly, there'd been some further and outward signs of the work of the Holy Spirit. They began to learn that there's always more when God is about. No one can ever exhaust his generosity. Most commentators wrestling with this agree that what happened when Peter and John came and laid their hands on the Samaritans was that they experienced then what those who Jewish Christians had experienced in Jerusalem on that first Pentecost Sunday. They were given a new experience of spiritual reality, a new consciousness of being in the presence of God, a new boldness, a new gratitude, new tongues, new joy. That's what amazed Simon. He saw it was real. He saw there was reality there. And it's the absolute spiritual reality and additional blessing that the Lord Jesus Christ wants you and me to experience today. As I was walking around, I pray every Wednesday morning through every pew and chair in this church, praying for each person who'll sit in a particular pew or a particular chair, just praying that God would speak to them, would bless them, and would encourage them. I prayed this morning that he'd bless people at lunchtime today. And I sensed him saying, "I understand more than you do," that was to me, "of the pressures that people are under. I understand what it's like in these offices. I understand what commuting is like. I understand the pressures of parent, or particularly those of you who have offsprings doing GCSEs and A-levels at the moment. I sense Jesus saying, I understand, and I am desperate to bless. You don't need to persuade me, Jeremy. I just want to bless them. And I'd love him to bless you today before you have to dash away. So let's stand, shall we? As the band come. Lord Jesus, you sent your Spirit to Samaria. Your closest friends were amazed that you wanted to bless the Samaritans. Your Spirit came in power. And I pray for each person here. You know them, and they love you. And I would love you, Father, as I sensed you wanting to do this morning, to bless each person. A new confidence, a new joy, a new tongue, perhaps. Perhaps a new sense of gratitude for all that you've done. A new confidence about the offspring for which they care. A blessing on marriage. Just come bless, I pray. Come and just touch each person. Just in these seconds before people have to rush back. Let them know that you're there. Band will just play now, and do you just continue to receive or to worship or dash back? Summers will be at the front if you want to be prayed for.